We continue the series following Jesus, and this morning we're looking at the lost coin. The parable is found in Luke chapter 15, verses 8 through 10. Jesus said this, "Suppose a woman has 10 silver coins and loses one. Doesn't she light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? And when she finds it, she calls her friends and neighbors together and says, 'Rejoice with me, I've found my lost coin.' In the same way, I tell you, there is rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God when one sinner who repents." May the Lord bless his word to our hearts and minds this morning. Well, I heard this story of three men who got lost hiking in the wilderness, and they came to a raging river that they had to cross, and it was in flood season, and they were quite frightened by that. And so one man prayed to God. He said, "God, give me the strength to cross the river." And poof, he got strong arms, and so he dove into the water. It took him about 2 hours of heavy swimming to reach the other side. And so the next man saw that, and he prayed to God, "God, give me the strength and the tools to cross the river." And poof, he had strong arms, and there was a rowboat all of a sudden. So he put the rowboat in the water, and he rowed. It took him about an hour of heavy rowing to get to the other side of the river. And so the next man, seeing that, prayed to God, "God, give me the strength and the tools and the intelligence to cross the river." And poof, God turned him into a woman. He pulled out the map and read it, walked 10 minutes upriver and crossed the footbridge. That was sent to me by a woman. But in any case, have you ever been lost? Anyone been lost somewhere? Maybe it was hiking. Maybe it was driving. Lord knows that can happen on vacation or something. Sometimes Savannah and I take a little adventurous detour. Thank God for GPS. I love the fact that it reroutes when you keep driving. And maybe there's been things that you've left behind. Uber, I don't know if you've taken Uber, but it's the new kind of ride service that just regular folks can do, did a study on the things that people left in their cars, and it was an interesting study. And so one of the things they found is the most forgetful city in the country is, you want to take a guess? L.A., Los Angeles. The most forgetful city, who knows why, we're not going to say anything. Sunday is the most common day for people to forget a wedding dress in the car. Can you imagine that? And then they found that Tuesday was the most common day to forget bathing suits in an Uber car. And then finally, they did some of the interesting things that people had left behind. Among them were a live lobster and a violin. So I don't know, but in any case, interesting things. Now, it's one thing when you get lost someplace when you're hiking, you don't know the territory. And it's another thing when you lose something behind, but have you ever lost something in your house and could not find it? Am I the only? Is that not frustrating or what? Now, it's interesting because Jesus in this morning's reading has, in the process of telling three stories about the lost. And last week we looked at the lost sheep. And you know that story where a shepherd has 100 sheep and one goes off and gets lost, and the shepherd goes out and searches until he finds the one sheep that's lost and brings it back, and there's rejoicing. And then next week we're going to look at the lost son. And you know something about that story, though. I think there's some surprises there where the son rebels and he goes away with the inheritance and he throws it away and then finally comes home to the father. But the interesting thing is, in this unique parable in the middle, is that it's often ignored. I feel like it's shortchanged, if you will. I work on this stuff, you know, so I may never get a chance to use that again. It's as if we forget about this parable in the middle of the 10 coins and the woman. Now, there's some unique things about it, and I just want to mention, first of all, some people often say, well, how come God isn't sort of portrayed with feminine imagery more often? And I would say this is one of the places in the Bible where God is portrayed as a woman. I think even more important to the story, though, is the interesting thing here is that the sheep gets lost away from the flock. And the son gets lost away from home, but here in this parable, the coin gets lost in the house. In the house. I think that's important because maybe what Jesus was intimating that's unique about this story is that with the symbolism of God as this woman looking for the coin, and the symbolism of the house obviously being God's house, is that sometimes we get lost in God's own house. Has anyone ever been lost in the church? Oh, good. I thought maybe you'd all raise your hands at once this morning. So We do get lost in God's house sometimes, don't we? Though we would maybe not want to admit to it. I think it is possible. And so if you look for a moment at this story, the story is of a woman who has 10 coins, 10 silver coins. They're worth no less than at least a day's wages. Great scholar that I love, N.T. Wright, points out that this may even have been part of this woman's dowry. And so it wasn't just for the moment, but this is maybe savings for a future relationship, a key to a relationship. But it's something that's very valuable to her. And she loses one of those 10 coins, and we're told that she searches high and low until she finds it. And then she rejoices when she finds it. She calls in her friends and neighbors. And I think it's important as we look at that, because if you notice for a moment when we look at this, is why was the coin lost? Well, we're told that it was either because it was dirty or it was dark. And that's interesting, isn't it? Because I can understand a home being dirty, because, you know. But it's interesting because I think in our own lives, maybe we have moments where even in God's house, things become dirty. I mean, maybe we have a moment in life where there is a past failure, a sin or a shortcoming in our life, and the guilt from that darkens the skies so that we feel that God cannot see us. Or maybe there's something else in our past that becomes dark and we feel like God can't forgive us. Or maybe it's sort of this moment where we feel that life is darkened by disappointment or heartache or heartbreak or something that's come into our life. So there's darkness and there's dirtiness. But in both cases, notice that this woman who represents God does some incredible things. She goes and she searches, and she just doesn't stop in one moment. She sweeps, and then she lights a lamp until she's found the coin. Now, it's interesting because this is one of the parables that has the most action verbs in it. And so God is portrayed as searching, as sweeping, as lighting a lamp, and then finally when God finds the coin, then God invites the neighbors in and they all rejoice. I think the good news of that is that when we feel that life is too dark for us, or we feel that our lives are too dirty for God, that God sweeps and cleans things up. Jesus came on the cross. We would know God's forgiveness and grace and love. And God lights a lamp in our darkest night so that we'll have hope and God's love to embrace us and give us God's grace. And God doesn't stop until God finds us. And I love that psalm from this morning, Psalm 139. The psalmist is saying, where can I go from your presence? You know, from the highest high or the lowest low, the deepest deep or the furthest reaches. And the answer is no. Even there, God will find us, because for God, the darkest night is as light as day, because God lights a lamp and comes for us. Jesus himself said, I am the light of the world. And I think in this beautiful moment, we find that even when we do get lost in God's house, that God's grace comes to us and finds us. Paul himself in Romans chapter 8, verses 38 and following, talks about, can we be separated from God's love? And he says, no, not darkness, not principalities, nothing at all can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. So the good news for us as we come to worship this morning is you may feel that there is an infinite gulf between you and God. You may have felt like you've got lost in God's own house, either because of things that you've done wrong that you feel are too great for God to forgive, or because the disappointments and hurts and darkness of life have crowded out the sunlight of God's love. Know this, that God is pursuing us, each of us, and God will sweep and clean until he makes us right, and God will light the lamp of his love and grace to light the darkest night. And so Jesus is saying that he cares about the lost, even lost in God's own house. But I think there's something else that's important here, which is the church itself needs to make that a priority in our hearts and our lives. Knowing that people get lost in God's house and people come to get found in God's house, we need to make a priority for us. And sometimes it's as if we're aiming at the wrong target or we have the wrong priorities. And there's a story I love from the 2004 Olympics, and the story is of Matt Emmons. And Matt Emmons was an extraordinary marksman from the United States, and so he was competing. And he was positioned such that it was inevitable that he would win the gold medal in the shooting marksmanship competition. All he had to do was get 2 points and he'd have the gold medal. Well, something happened to one of his rifles and he had to borrow another person's rifle. And he made the shot And they call it that he had won the gold, but then the judges begin to talk and held things up. And then it came back that, in fact, he did not hit the right target. And they looked at that, and they realized that he'd actually been aiming, because he was using someone else's gun, into the target at the next lane. Only time it's happened in Olympic history. And so he ended up in fourth place. Now, it's interesting because aiming at the wrong target, I think, sometimes is what happens with the church. I mean, sometimes we get our priorities different than the priorities of God. We get sort of focused on things that really don't matter in the time frame of eternity. And it's things that maybe are wonderful but don't really matter. But I think the target that Jesus would have for us is to follow Christ, to build community, and to serve others. To follow Christ, to build community, and to serve others. And that's the target that Jesus would have us aim at. And sometimes we're aiming at something completely different. Now, the good news of that story is this. He would later say that that was the best thing that ever happened in his life, because the woman who came to console him was one of the Austrian competitors. She was so moved by his breakdown that she came and consoled him. They dated, they married, and now they have two kids. And so he said, you know, that miss was one of the best things that happened in his life. Now, I think the good news for us is, even though we sometimes miss the mark as the Church of Jesus Christ and the family of faith, is we sort of recite our target. We can find that God's grace is enough to bring us all back into God's alignment, and even some hidden treasures could happen to us that we would not believe. But as a church, we need to be about being the family of faith, to reaching the lost. Fred Craddock, well-known pastor and writer and professor, told a story that I love. He tells a story that he was a pastor in rural Appalachia for a while. And he said it was the custom of that church that he was a pastor of that every Easter evening, they'd have all the folks who's accepted Christ during the previous year, and they'd gather at a river, and the folks would go out into the river, and they'd be baptized one by one into the river, and then they'd come up on the shore, and of course they were cold, and they would change their clothes in separate tents, and then they'd gather around the fire and get warm, and then the church would form another circle around that circle of folks who had just accepted Christ and been baptized. And then a fellow by the name of Percy Miller would go around and introduce each of the folks who'd been baptized and say a little bit about them. And then folks around the outside circle, the folks in the church family, would begin to introduce themselves. And so one person would say, well, my name is Mark, and if you need some wood chopped, then I'll be happy to help with the wood for you. And someone else would say, my name is Tom, and if your car breaks down, why, I can help you with that. And another woman would say, well, if you need help with some of the kids, then I'll be there for that. And they'd all go around the circle and share the things they could help with the folks on the inner circle. And then he said that a guy by the name of Glenn Hickey, one of the oldest deacons, and long about evening would say, all right, folks, it's time to go home. And so he'd get out the sand and cover the fire and put water on it. Then he'd walk up to Fred Craddock and say, well, it just doesn't get much better than this, does it? Well, Fred Craddock was sharing that story at this series of lectures in Chicago at a prestigious university, and he shared that story, and one of the folks raised his hand, one of the academics, said, what do you call that thing where they did the thing with the circle and around the campfire and sharing things? And Fred Craddock thought for a moment and said, well, I don't know what you folks call it in Chicago, but in North Georgia, where I come from, we call it church. It's true, isn't it? Isn't that what the target should be? The church is about the family of faith. The church is about surrounding those who feel lost and broken, the last, the lonely, the least, and lifting them up with the love and grace of Almighty God. It's so easy to get our target shifted from one lane to another lane that just doesn't mean as much. But I think Jesus would remind us in this parable that we do get lost even in God's house. And sometimes even the family of faith gets lost in God's house. That's exactly what was happening in this reading this morning. Jesus was spending time dining with the sinners and the tax collectors, the folks who were the outcasts of society. And the scribes and Pharisees, the religious leaders, came to Jesus and said, why are you doing this? And so Jesus leans into these three stories of loss to remind them that God's priority and his mission come in human flesh was to reach out to the lost, the lonely, the least, all those who are downtrodden. So this morning, wherever you are in your journey of faith, If you feel that things are dark or dirty, know that Jesus comes and searches for us, and that Jesus will sweep and clean through the grace we find in the cross, and Jesus will light a lamp and search for us until he finds us. And when he finds us, all the angels in heaven will rejoice, as well as Jesus Christ himself. I want to think about this in closing, which is a story that I love. And the story is of this college student who never went to church. And so he wandered into campus ministry one evening and heard the story of Jesus and became a Christian. And through the course of the next weeks and even months, he attended this little campus ministry, and the folks around there encouraged him that he ought to go to church, even though he'd never been to church. Well, he was intimidated by that, but one Sunday morning he decided to go to the church across from the university. It was a big church. It was a prominent church, quite wealthy. And so he slipped in late. Now, he didn't know how you dress from church, but he really honestly only had jeans that he wore to college and a t-shirt, and he never wore shoes, and so he came with jeans and a t-shirt without any shoes on. As he walked in the back door, folks turned and saw his long hair, jeans, and t-shirt, and bare feet, and just kind of rolled their eyes. Well, he began to walk down towards the front and couldn't find any empty seats, and finally when he got to the front, he realized there weren't empty seats, and so he did what he did at the campus ministry. He just sat on the floor. Well, people just rolled their eyes and took a deep breath. And in the back, way in the back, was this older deacon that everyone respected. He had three-piece suit on, and he had the silver hair. He even had a cane that was ornate. And so he began to make his way down the aisle and hear the tap, tap, tap of his cane. And finally, he got down front, and everybody took a deep breath. They thought he was going to scold that young college student who was sitting on the floor. But instead, the elderly deacon gingerly sat himself down with the help of his cane next to the college student to make him feel welcome. Everybody just was touched in that moment, and the pastor who was preaching the sermon at the time said, "You know, folks, the sermon that I preached today, you might remember for a week or two, but the sermon you just saw, you'll remember for a lifetime." And I think it's true in our lives. What are our values? What are our priorities as a family of faith? We ought to be about the same values and priorities of Jesus, which is to reach out for the lost, to make room for the lost, not just in the highways and byways, but also in God's house, the house of faith. And know also that if you're here and you felt like you've lost your way, whether it's dark or dirty, that Jesus can sweep, Jesus can clean the darkest night, and Jesus can light the darkest night and make it bright as day to his love. And God loves the lost and will reach out to all of us. Will you join me in prayer? Lord, we know that we all do get lost along life's way. But we're so thankful that you come looking for us, even in your house. You sweep and you light a lamp, and when you have found us, saved us, and transformed our lives, you rejoice as do all the angels in heaven. So, Lord, help us to find your love and to open our hearts to your love and grace and forgiveness this morning. And as a family of faith, Lord, help us to be about the same thing as our Lord, in Christ's name. And all God's people said, amen.